everybody, and welcome to February's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. And round the virtual table this month, we're in the running now, good and proper, the home straight, all those analogies. We're joined from 26-0 by Mr. Ian Burke. Burkey's with us. Hello, Burkey, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks, Ben. How are you?
I'm all good. Social media officer from the Northern Premier League, James Hayes, is here.
Evening, Ben.
Are you okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Just get me caps lock off. Give me a sec. There we go.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year, everyone. The cap lock tweets are back. Oh, good stuff.
Permutations.
Non-league reporter from the great county of Cheshire, Mr. Andrew Simpson, is here. Hello, Simo. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Good. And making a return to the show, it's press and media officer from the Northern Premier League. It's Mr. James Gordon. Hello, James. How are you?
Hello. I'm all good. It must be near the end of the season if I'm on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, welcome back, James. And confusing, we had this discussion last time we had you on. James, you're going to be called James. And James, you're going to be called T-Got. Is everyone clear?
Yeah, no worries.
Good, good stuff. Right. So we are in the home straight. Simo, I'll come to you first. In fact, no, this is beautiful. Beautifully well-timed. Burke.
Yeah.
Burke.
What for done?
South Shields. 10 points clear. Remarkably, of your beloved Hyde. It was meant to be. This is the year. 10 points clear. South Shields up at the top with a game in hand. They've got 9 games left. Hyde have got 8 games left. It's looking a bit ominous for the rest of the league now, if anyone's got title aspirations other than South Shields.
Oh, they don't. They don't. This is a victory lap now. It really is. I mean, we wondered on the show last month if the away games might trip them up in February. He had 5 out of 6 on the road, and it didn't really. They won 3 of them. They drew 2. And the only game that they played at home was against Matlock, who they played last night. Both those games resulted in draws as well. So, yeah, they've come through it. Not quite with flying colours, I don't think, but they've done enough to maintain that gap, even stretch it out. They're going to win it. Of course they are. I think they're probably, if the teams below them carry on at the rate they're going, the current points per game, they're probably only 2 wins away. So it could be over pretty soon.
And Simo, it's something that we've spoke with Kevin Phillips with directly, but also, you know, we've talked to Matt Carruthers up there in the Northeast about the difference between South Shields of this season and versus South Shields of previous years. And you only have to go back to, you know, the recent results, a 1-0 away win at Warrington Rylands, a 1-0 draw against Patrinity, a 1-0 draw against Matlock, a 1-0 against Belper, a 0-0 against Matlock. I mean, the Masque result on Saturdays is quite an anomaly, really. They've just been getting the points.
It's steady as she goes, isn't it? But they knew they had margin for error, and I think that's helped, hasn't it? They're not under pressure under intense pressure to win games. 4 clean sheets in that run that you've just read out. Burkey was spot on. This was the moment, if they were going to slip up, for them to drop points, and it just... Well, they've dropped the odd one here and there. It just hasn't happened. And they have that nice buffer now going into a slightly trickier run of games in the next 2 or 3 weeks. They've got to go to Hyde and host Radcliffe before the end of the month, also at home to FC United as well. But they've got that buffer now. So I'm with Burkey. I think, I mean, they won't want us to do this as a coronation, but I think they're pretty much there. They're finally going to be in the National League North next season.
And Simo's right there. It is about that buffer, isn't it? Because they've got Hyde United coming up. They've got Radcliffe. They've got Bamber Bridge. They've got, you know, a very tricky game against Whitby and, you know, Warrington Town as well in the penultimate game of the season. And then, you know, in between that, they've got games like FC United and Stafford Rangers and Stalybridge this weekend, of course. I mean, it's a good buffer to have in a running where there's going to be a couple of strange results, I'm going to suggest, across the league in the coming month or so.
Yeah, I think it's more for the fact that South Shields know 5 wins, 4 if a certain result goes away on Saturday. In their favour, they've won the league. The fans are online, are already starting to celebrate a little bit, but this is why I keep saying, remember that season with Chorley? He went down to the last couple of games, last 2-3 weeks of the season in that regard. So with South Shields at the moment, they're unbeaten in 10. Everyone knows how tough it can be going to Matlock Town on a Tuesday night. South Shields just doing what they know, and they've already got in their head the 5 wins from the title.
And James, James Gordon, they've only lost 4 games, South Shields, and one of those games was actually against Warrington Town back in before Christmas, wasn't it? I mean, what's your thoughts on South Shields as we approach the running now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as others have alluded to, you know, as been coming, you know, it's been years in the waiting for Southshield. You know, they should be romping this league, let's be honest. And they have, you know, they did do so and were a bit unfortunate, of course, for various reasons, and have lost, you know, lost in the playoffs the last two times, both at home when perhaps they were expected to win. So, you know, I'm glad that it's happening for them because I think, you know, the progress that they've made off the field has been, you know, unbelievable in the time that they've been in the Northern Premier League. So they, you know, they need that promotion to take them to the next level. And to be honest, I'm sure most of the other teams in the league will probably be glad to see the back of them because, you know, next season it's almost all on for everybody again. You know, and you mentioned there about the losses. You know, I think, you know, clearly winning games is the most important thing. I think some of the teams, you know, you mentioned Warrington Town there. I think, you know, Warrington Town draw too many games to be in that title race, really. So, I think that it's interesting that defeat probably, I think if you look at the results since they lost to Warrington, I think that might have not, I wouldn't say a wake-up call because that's not what it was, but I think maybe that made them realise that actually we've just got to find a way of winning games and make sure that, you know, come the end of the season, we are top of the league. And that's what, you know, it'd be quite a miracle if it didn't happen from here.
And Berkey, obviously, South Shields are 10 points ahead of Hyde United, as we said. But Hyde United are 7 points inside the playoffs. And this might sound like a really easy question, but based on what you said earlier, Hyde United might not necessarily get the title this season. But to be 7 points inside the playoffs at this point, going back to August preview show, you would have took that, wouldn't you?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a handy cushion to have, but a couple of the teams below us have got games in hand. And going back to Marine, they've got two games in hand. So this isn't over at all. Hyde have still got to play South Shields, got to play Warrington on the last day of the season, got Radcliffe coming up on Saturday. So there's a really, really big three games come up on the trot. Radcliffe, South Shields and Lancaster, who are a bit of a bogey team for Hyde. If Hyde can get 5 points or more from those three games, I think they would be absolutely made up with that. It's a big hurdle to get over and it kind of sets the team up for going into the last five games with a bit of confidence that they can see off the better sides in the division. And well, Hyde already know they can do. They're the only team that have beaten South Shields away from home so far. And it's just been a really, really good campaign. No matter what happens from now, really, it's been a brilliant campaign. And I need to say this as well. Brad Roscoe and Jordan Fagbowl are both having the season of their lives at the moment. Probably. In fact, there's not even a probably about it. They are the best centre-half partnership in the division. Yeah,
here's the thing, though. You missed him at the weekend, Brad Roscoe, because he obviously is suspended, but still got a clean sheet.
Exactly.
And I believe you attended the game as well, which makes it even more miracle.
Behave yourself. It's only in Cheshire. I can go to Cheshire games. But yeah, Hyde have been fantastic. Down to the bare bones at the minute. So we do need to, you know, still get over a couple of humps. But once we're back to full strength again, it's going to be a really intriguing run in this. But as tough as our running is, and it is a tough running, Warrington, for my money, they've got the toughest of the lot.
This is too early for mind games, Berkey. Hold on to what you've got. You don't have to bring in other clubs just yet. But
I'm trying to do a nice segue for you there.
No, I'm not finished with you yet. Simo, 7 points inside the playoffs, Hyde. And I get what Berkey's saying. I mean, you know, this week they've got Radcliffe away, then South Shields at home, Lancaster away, as Berkey rightly points out, going to April, Whitby at home, Morpeth at home, Stalybridge away. No disrespect, it's a bit favourable, although Morpeth and Stalybridge might need the wins at that point, finishing off with tough games against Marine and Warrington Town. But 7 points at this stage of the season, just based on how results come in and form and momentum and that kind of thing, it's asking a lot, isn't it, for Hyde to not make the playoffs now?
I think you're right. I think it is. I mean, I don't know kind of privately what their objectives were at the start of the season. I mean, Berkey, do you know where Hyde were on this day, 8th of March, 2022, in the table?
Ooh, let me guess. Would it have been 19th?
20th. They only had 36 points. So I mean, that in itself shows the turnaround at Hyde. So the other thing that would be quite interesting is kind of, if you find yourself in a position that you didn't expect to be, you can kind of play without pressure for a little while, but now they have something tangible to hold on to. They'll know that it'll feel like a disappointment if they don't end up in a playoffs position, even if it's not second. They've got maneuvered themselves to a place where they need to kind of see it through here to feel that it's all been worthwhile. And if they handle that element of it okay, then it sets them up nicely for the playoffs, whether they finish wherever they finish in the top five. So that's just the changing dynamic. We saw this a little bit with other teams in the past that, oh, we didn't expect to be here having a lovely time, having a lovely time. And then when it kind of came to the crunch, they didn't handle it very well. So that's the test for Hyde in the next next 6 weeks or so.
The thing with Hyde is we've actually picked up more points away from home and we're in really good form on our travels at the moment as well. So actually a train of thought that goes, well, we don't really mind. If we finish in the playoffs, brilliant, but we don't actually mind whether we finish in second or fifth because we're confident on the road, we're confident at home. So, yeah, bring it on.
James Gordon, come to you now. You're free to throw some stones at Berkey and Hyde United. It's only fair, isn't it? But how important was that 1-0 victory over Bamba Bridge on Saturday, James, just to reaffirm where Warrington are as we head into March now, good and proper?
Yeah, and I think, it was a massive result, really. Obviously, played the whole 90 minutes with 10 men, especially after the Tuesday night game against Whitby the Tuesday before, because Whitby had a man sent off and, they got a late equaliser with 10 men against Warrington Town, which sort of Mark Beasley was very despondent after that result. So they needed it not just to recover from that Tuesday night, but as you say, level on points with Bamber Bridge going into that match. It gives them the confidence, especially with the running that they've got, where they're playing all them teams, South Shields, Hyde, Radcliffe, Gainsborough, Marine. They've got games against all those teams. So ultimately, if they're going to make the playoffs, they've got to be getting results against the teams around them. And I think, to be honest, I think there's a lot of games, isn't there, between those teams in that top seven or so. So there's still a lot to play for. I think it was a bad result for Bamber Bridge, I think, that last week. I think that'd have really given them a boost if they could have won that game. But Warrington on this 16-match unbeaten run as well, probably drawn more than they would have liked to.
Do you think, James, because we had Dave Raven on the show last week, obviously, and do you think it's possible to continue that run all the way to the end? Do you reckon that's at all possible, given the running you've got as well? Because that'd be miraculous, wouldn't it, if you really did, carry on this streak?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to look at, what Scarborough did last season. Obviously, Scarborough weren't necessarily up there, around October, November time, and then they just put on this big sequence of primarily wins. I think probably Warrington's run's maybe gone a little under the radar just because they have drawn so many. It hasn't necessarily been, they've been pretty steady away with points. They've not necessarily been pulling away from anyone or climbing a great deal. But I'm not going to say it's not possible. Obviously, like you say, it'd be a massive achievement if they can do it. But I think there's also, on the flip side of that, is the longer it goes on, does it then become, when you do lose it, does it then become a bit more of a catastrophe than it you would maybe like? I honestly don't know. If it's ended, let's say it's ended at Radcliffe a week on Saturday, is it a case then of thinking, oh, we've lost this unbeaten run, and then it maybe takes a bit to get over it? I don't think that's what happened, but who knows how the psychology of them things work. But I think clearly with the tough run of games that they've got, to go in with that mentality that you've got something to preserve and to continue it can only be a good thing.
And if you could draw that game a week on Saturday, that'd be lovely, by the way.
James, just to say, how important do you think home advantage is as well? Because you're 4 points inside the playoffs. I mean, we'll get to whether who the final playoff spots are going to go to as the weeks progress, obviously. But how important is it to have home advantage? I mean, Berkey's already said it doesn't matter for Hyde.
Well, I mean, it's a tough one because obviously Warrington finished fifth on the last day of the season last year, probably should have finished third. But then they ended up going and beating the best team in them away anyway and ended up losing, obviously, to Scarborough in the final. I think, and obviously the year Warrington won it, they beat South Shields away in the final as well. I think similar to what Berkey said, I think most of the teams, whoever makes the playoffs, I think everyone will probably think we could beat them away as well. Do you know what I mean? I think it's slightly different to when South Shields have been in and everyone's a bit like, oh, we don't want to go there. Whereas I think all the teams will look around, and don't get me wrong, I think finishing second clearly is where you want to be because, then that if you make the final, it's on your home patch. If the playoff final had been at Warrington last year, it probably would have been a different story. But I certainly think finishing third as a minimum is probably what you want to do, just so you've not got, I presume the final's on the Monday again this year, so you've at least got the 6 day wait from the semi-final. But to go away and win two tough away games Tuesday, Monday is, you know, that's a challenge for everyone. Obviously, Warrington tried it last year and failed. So yeah, clearly you want to finish as high as possible. But, look, you know, looking at how close it is, I think at the moment you're a bit like, well, we'll just take a spot in the playoffs and see what happens from there.
There's a few hundred Gainsborough fans shouting at you at the minute, James, because Gainsborough have only won four times at home all season. They're miles better on the travels. They'd be happy as Larry with finishing fourth.
I mean, I said in the summer I fancied Gainsborough to do well this season, and I know they sort of, well, they're not in the top five at the moment, but they're there or thereabouts, and they've got that goal. You know, goal difference is always a big teller of where a team's at. But actually, what's interesting about Gainsborough is they were really good at home last season. And they've sort of done it the reverse way around this season. So maybe they're just saving it for the playoffs.
Warrington Town's remaining games, Morpeth Town away this weekend, then Radcliffe away, Liversidge at home, Gainsborough away, it kicks off April, Ashton at home, and then those three games at the end, Blimey, as we discussed last week with Dave Raven, Marine away, South Shields away, Hyde at home. Easy, no problem. One of those teams that Warrington's got to play in the coming weeks is Radcliffe, and Teagot, will come to you now. I mean, Radcliffe are in a very good spot. I'm going to suggest a 0-0 away at Whitby is actually a very good result considering the nerves that must be involved. So it's going all right.
It is indeed, but this is where Radcliffe have got to really start proving themselves. They've still got the capability and the squad there. I mean, obviously, we've released a couple of players this week, especially with Matty Carruthers moving to Avro in their title race in the North West Counties. But Radcliffe have now got to prove themselves with the top sides coming up there. It's interesting to point out as well, they said last week to everyone, before the top three was South Shields, Hyde, Radcliffe. All three sides had pretty much exactly the same sort of running, including playing each other. You throw Warrington to there as well. So the entirety of the top four have got, on average, the same sort of quality of opponents, that sort of thing, just when they play them. It just feels like Radcliffe are trying to grind results out at this moment in time. The guys who resort to the Bamber Bridge, they have got the capability of beating them top sides. It's just doing it on a constant basis, or just not getting complacent when they're playing teams down the bottom end, which has been pretty much the story of Radcliffe's season so far. You look where they've been dropping points, it's the likes of Nantwich, Whitby, Abbott Colliers. So I think as soon as Radcliffe can turn that round, going into a playoff, they've got a great opportunity there. More at the moment in time, trying to get a home playoff. Can we just want to avoid Warrington Town in the playoffs at the moment too?
I'm not saying everything boils down to the next few weeks. But
say
it's
it,
Burke. Give...
Go on, say it. You know what?
All boils down to the next few weeks, doesn't it? you're playing the top three.
That's back as well.
Exactly, pretty much back to back. Is it Morpeth chucked in there
Mask.
As well?
Mask away.
Sorry, yeah. So three teams going for promotion and one team battling against relegation. It's so, so tough. But again, it's the same with Hyde, same with Warrington. If you can come through it, you could just get a real boost from it.
The bonus for Radcliffe is the Manchester Cup final to look forward to. So
Radcliffe's remaining games of the season, they've got quite a few, actually, haven't they? Hyde United this weekend, massive game, that one. Mask away on Tuesday, the 14th of March, and then they've got Warrington Town, South Shields, Stafford Rangers, kicks off April, Liversidge, Warrington Rylands, and the last two games, Gainsborough Trinity at home and Nantwich Town away. On paper, Burke, that's not too bad.
It's on pretty paper. Bad. It's yeah, pretty bad.
It's worse.
Because,
no, I've read out worse ones, though, in the opening 20 minutes of the show.
And you have, but I'll tell you why it's quite bad. Because you look at Bamber Bridges running. Team in fifth place.
Hey, good segue, my friend. Let's go to Bamber Bridge now. Well done. Bamber Bridge, obviously in fifth. The league has stretched out a bit. Bamber Bridge are a point inside the playoffs and 3 points ahead of the likes of Marine and Matlock Town. I mean, we'll get to just outside the playoffs shortly. But Bamber Bridge, they got themselves in the playoffs. They dropped out of the playoffs. They've got themselves back into the playoffs, Burke. They're running. As you've said, we might as well cover it now. They've got Stafford Rangers, Morpeth, Whitby, all home games. Get that momentum going there at Iron Gate. Then they've got Atherton Colls away, Nantwich away. Then in April, it's South Shields, FC away, Lancaster at home, finishing things off with Matlock away and Ashton United at home.
It's really, really favourable, this, for Bamber Bridge. I'd be surprised if they finish... I'd be surprised if they finish fifth. I think they'll be a little bit higher. Just going off them, not having to play everyone that's around them. You know, all the teams that are in, you know, the teams that are above them, they're all playing against each other. They're going to take points off each other. Bamber Bridge have got such an opportunity to capitalise on this and really kick on in the last 2 months of the season. Same as what Marine had last month. They almost took full advantage as well. There was that defeat that they had against Liversedge, but, you know, we'll come to that in a bit, won't we? But Bamber Bridge, for me, I'm going to say it. Bamber Bridge, for me, are nailed on for the playoffs.
Ooh,
nailed on.
Berkey's right. I hate to say that, but he is right. I mean,
just to say, not because of what Berkey's saying, but because you're agreeing with Berkey. That's what
we're saying. With Berkey. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I have nothing against Bamber Bridge, but also they're so strong at home with that run of home games they've got coming now. They can really rack up the points. I mean, they'll be looking for 9 points from those next three home games, absolute minimum 7, and that'll really strengthen their position. The only thing that will slightly concern them is since we last did a monthly show, they've had 3 head-to-heads against kind of teams that are potential playoff rivals, and they've not won any of those games. They lost to Radcliffe and Warrington. They drew with Gainsborough. Not necessarily the end of the world at the moment because they're still 5th, but just something to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think they're in a great position. They're still 5th after coming through those games and then with a favourable fixture list to come.
And James Gordon, we did touch upon Gainsborough Trinity, but Gainsborough just outside the playoff spots at the moment. They too have got 3 back-to-back home games coming up, Rylands, Nantwich Town, and it could be a really crucial game against Marine in a couple of weeks' time on a Tuesday night. Then they've got Afferton Coles, and then they start April with Warrington Town, Lancaster, Liversedge, Radcliffe, and finishing things off at home to FC United. I mean, it's all about the away form, strange. I can't believe I'm saying that about Gainsborough Trinity. It's been a phenomenal campaign. Can they see it over the line and get themselves into the playoffs in the closing month or so?
Yeah, I mean, I fancy Gainsborough to make the playoffs for sure. You know, 6 home games out of the 9, I think they've got. You know, they had that bit of a spell where they sort of fell off the wagon a bit. They lost 4 in a row. And they seem to have bounced back from that now and starting to build a bit of momentum again and getting results and, you know, won the last 2 away games. So I'd be very surprised if Gainsborough don't make the top 5, to be honest, from where they are. They've got the goal difference in them. You know, they've beaten the teams, you know, they've beaten some of the teams above them already. So, yeah, I know we're going to go on to this later, but, yeah, if you were going to ask me my 5, Gainsborough would certainly be in there.
And Simo, just to talk about Gainsborough's form more generally, they did have a little wobble, didn't they? Then they've got this, you know, 6-game unbeaten run now. In that, there was 3 straight draws as well. Yeah. Admittedly, they were against South Shields and Bamber Bridge as well as bottom of the table, Belper at the time. But they have had back-to-back wins now and a massive win against Geisler. That feels like that could be a foothold for where they are in the league table now.
I think it's a huge win in a couple of ways. I think that probably pushes Geisley out of contention. I think maybe down to 8th place are now the contenders for the playoffs. Certainly leaves Geisley with virtually no room for manoeuvre anyway. But so it's a struck a blow to kind of eliminate someone from the race. But yeah, also kind of now with that back-to-back wins that James mentions, it feels from the outside like they have turned a little bit of a corner and they'll be looking to push forward now to get into that top 5 and they're well placed to do that. I think it's going to be really, really tight, but they've given themselves a chance.
And Berkey, do you agree with Simo's assessment that it's probably now the top 8 sides involved in promotion chatter at this point going down to Marine and Matlock?
Yeah, I would. I disagree with James, though. I don't have Gainsborough in my top 5 for the reason being.
Is it because I just saw it and went, if they could keep the unbeaten run going with 3 straight home games, then will you change your mind at that point?
I would do, yeah. But the thing is, they're at home. The 6 of the last 9 games are at home and the home record's been fair to middling. You know, it's not the kind of home record you'd expect to see of a playoff side. So that's a big worry for me. And it's not just going to be me that's going, oh, I don't know about this. It's going to be the Gainsborough fans as well who can see with their own eyes that they struggle at North Home. And too many draws. And they're away games. It's at Atherton Coles. It's at Lancaster. It's at Radcliffe Borough. You couldn't ask for 3 tougher away matches. You know, it's going to be it's going to be nip and tuck this right to the end for the playoffs. You can do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not writing them off or anything. But I think it's going to be really, really close between the entire top 8, apart from South Shields, who are gone, of course.
James Hayes, 2 teams left to talk about. 3 points from the playoffs. Let's start off with Marine. I mean, Marine have got Geyser this weekend, then Matlock away on Tuesday night. It's a big couple of games coming up.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, obviously, when you look at the Marine's big issue this season is they've not beaten anyone else in that top eight so far. So, big opportunity coming up with Geyser, Matlock and Gainsborough Trinity. Feels similar to what Geyser were at the start of the last month, where they had to get a good run of results going to stay in that contention. I do fully agree. I think Geyser, the last three results, particularly against playoff contending sides, has cost them there a little bit. But yeah, Marine, it feels like a similar situation now, especially with the next four fixtures there. If they start dropping points, they're going to get cut off from that situation too. I mean, you look at the running, they've got destiny there. They've just got to start beating the teams above them in the table.
Yeah, they've got Geyser this weekend, Matlock away on Tuesday, then FC United, Gainsborough Trinity away, which could be a really big game, Whitby Town away, then for April, Nantwich Town at home, Mask away, Warrington at home, Hyde United away, and Matlock at home. Wow, that's
tricky.
Very tricky. Oh, yeah. But while we're discussing Marine, big congratulations to Marine beating Everton by 4-1 in the quarterfinals of the Liverpool Senior Cup. That is not bad at all. Big congratulations to everyone at the club. A tough running for Marine there with Warrington Town, Hyde United and Matlock Town to finish things off with. Berkey, just to touch upon Matlock Town as well, I mean, a 0-0 draw with South Shields, you know, following on from a 1-0 draw with Ashton United and a 1-0 draw with Hyde United. I mean, Matlock are certainly becoming difficult to beat. We should say they've drawn twice with South Shields now, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So where do you see Matlock as well? Similar to Marine?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they are ultra organised. They really are at the minute. The problem is, though, they just don't score too many goals. In the last 10 games, they've only scored more than once. It's just bizarre. Absolutely bizarre situation. They're absolutely rock solid at the back. It's a similar situation with the amount of goals conceded, but they just can't seem to make a decisive breakthrough going forward at the minute. I don't know why it is, because, as I say, they're very, very organised and they're as difficult a team to beat in this division as anyone. The one defeat in eight at the moment, it tallies with the rest of the teams around them. And they're a good side, really good unit. And nobody, if they do get into the playoffs, I guarantee you, nobody will want to play them.
They've got Whitby Town away this weekend, then Marine on Tuesday, as we've already said. Mask away, Liversidge away, Afferton Coles at home, Belper Town away, Bamber Bridge at home, and Marine away. Obviously, two very tricky games there to finish the season with, Simo. But generally, now I've read that out, no disrespect to the teams I've just read out there, but it's not as hard as some other teams, if I could say that.
They're definitely in with a shout. In fact, there's a little bit of frustration, I think, at Matlock. They've not got a few more points on the board because they've drawn a lot of games, which tallies with what Berkey was saying. They've not quite got enough goals to kill teams off while they've been really difficult to score against at the other end of the pitch. So they think they should be a couple more points on, but they're still very much in touch. And I think a huge hat tip to Martin Carruthers for the job that he's done so far. Okay, he's their third manager of the season, so he kind of inherited a mishmash of two previous managers' teams. He's only brought in his own players and started to turn over the squad and still kept them in contention for a playoff place. So he deserves enormous credit for the job that he's done so far. They have picked up a couple of injuries recently, so they'll want to kind of or hope that they won't be too serious and they'll get those players back quickly. But yeah, don't rule them out for definite.
And Teagot, we're obviously Geyser is 7 points from the playoffs. They've got Marine this weekend, Rylands next weekend, both games away. Belper at home, Ashton United away, Stalybridge at home, Afferton Coles, Liversidge and Lancaster. And reading that there, there's a chance, guys, they could go on another unbeaten run here, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, the big one for them is going to be this coming Saturday against Marine. They've got to get a result out of there to really have any chance to be back in the playoff contention. So if you get through that, as you just said, they would run in. That's a favourable one at the same time, similar to Matlock. So they've got the opportunity again, go on a good run, 24 points available there at the same time. But not a million miles away, but you just got to go back and look at the recent results where the drop of form's come at the wrong time for them, I think. Considering, obviously, where they were at the start of the season as well, if you can get that run going, they could sneak in and be a potential dark horse for the competition. We've not said that a lot this year as well.
I've said it enough. Ben.
Yes.
I've got my projection at 72 points for getting into the playoffs.
And I think you said 70 a while ago, actually.
Yeah, I said 70, but I've revised it upwards just a couple of points. But if Geisley win all eight games, they get to 72 points. I don't think they will. They do have a pretty accommodating running, but it's now I think it's a case of looking to put struts and structures in place for next season, really.
Yeah, because the other thing we have to say is as well, I mean, for Geisley to be even in this conversation, considering where they were around Christmas time, which was only a couple of months ago now, is a brilliant achievement, to say the least. But Geisley, not completely out of it. Who wants to interview me? Simo, you do a good job of this. Simo, what would you like?
I've prepared some questions for you, Ben.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Right. Now,
I thought you might ask me this. So,
Oh, a spotlight as well, Simo. When did you get the spotlight on me? There we go.
Well, there you go. I've got two questions for you, Ben.
Yes, go on then.
One of them is the most obvious question that anyone on day one of journalism school will ask you. So I'll ask you that one first.
Yeah, I just wanted to get involved in radio just to, you know, make an impression. And oh, was that what you were going to ask me?
I was going to ask you, what does a post-Regan Linney FC United look like now? We've got a kind of month's worth of evidence. The numbers are not great. 4 goals in 5 games, but how's it looking?
Regan Linney hasn't been replaced, and I don't think there's been an attempt to replace Regan Linney, because I think when Linney left, it was also the same week Callum Gribbin picked up an injury, which he's going to be out for maybe a year with that injury. Plus, we lost 2 fullbacks who returned to their parent club. Plus, the other striker we had, Rodwell Grant, he went back to his parent club as well. And at the same time, players like Michael Potts got injured and it was just too much. So I think Neil's gone back to the drawing board a little bit, brought in some youngsters, and he's just seeing how it goes, essentially. The pressure's off, really. Some would say, Simo, we might be thinking about having a good time in April.
Well, that leads me neatly onto my second question. So I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
I think we'll all agree that FC United now aren't going to make playoffs. But I think what they do need to be really careful of is not just letting the season peter out and say, like, finishing 14th, because I think that would be a disappointment. So I wanted to know, how important is it to finish the season strongly?
For me personally, I think it's very, very important. And I think for Neil Reynolds, it is as well, because, you know, he's said to the players, you know, you're playing for next season as well. And, you know, all of those footballing cliches and that kind of thing. But, I mean, essentially what we're seeing now is FC United's third rebuild this season. You could mention Matlock having 3 managers, but FC have essentially had 3 sides this year now. And one of those was obviously a choice made in October to bring in some new players, but this one's been forced upon the club towards the end of the season, but still a challenge. But, you know, I've been impressed with Matt Van Wijk, who, you know, a player from the West Lancs League. Yeah, he's a good player.
Good.
Was that everything?
I have no further questions.
Good. Do you want to know my enthusiasm for podcasts and how, you know, it's I called it as the future way before anyone else did? No? Okay, let's move on then. Right, is everyone agreed though that guys is a grey area, but beneath that, that's it for the playoffs?
No, I don't think Geisley's a grey area. I think they're out of it.
I think they're out of it as well. Sorry, Geisley.
Paul Phillips, don't get in touch. Those are the views of Burke here. And,
he'll get in touch with me. Don't worry.
Get in touch with them. That's fine. James, Gordon, obviously what Simo says is right about those teams in mid-table. I mean, they're all in mid-table. We're feeling slightly differently, I'm going to suggest. I mean, the likes of Lancaster City in 11th, I'm imagining, you know, given the injuries and that Mark Fells had to deal with, they'll be delighted with being 11th at the moment. Warrington Rylands, we had Cleggy on a couple of weeks ago. I think they're quite content. You know, they're looking towards next season, a bit like FC United. Stafford Rangers, I think they're content because they've steadied the ship. And I think Whitby are content as well. And I suppose Ashton United are kind of like Stafford Rangers. They needed a couple of wins and then they'll be happy again. And everyone's kind of content in mid-table who are there at the moment, do you feel?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I think Whitby did really well to get from where they were to sort of to be in this position. You look at the bottom four and, you know, I guess this is where you're going with this conversation, Ben, but you just wonder how many points are they going to be able to pick up. Obviously Nantwich have just got Paul Carden in, and he'll certainly get some results there, but they've played more games than anyone around them, so are they going to get up to 45, 46 points? I'm not too sure. So yeah, I certainly think from Whitby up, well, probably from Ashton up, you're probably already looking at what you want to do about next season, and go through the motions a little bit, as you say, like maybe FC United are doing and some of them other teams. But I suppose the beauty of this league is you only have to win two or three games or lose two or three games in a row, and all of a sudden the pitch is very different.
Yeah, and for a team like Alpha Cole's Teagot, who obviously beat Radcliffe, followed that up with a defeat to Marine, but only just. And before that, they were beaten by Bamber Bridge. I mean, it's been a tricky couple of results. But for Alpha Cole's Teagot, it's not necessarily about stringing the wins together. It's just getting the odd win at this point, as we saw against Radcliffe. That's enough to boost things. And I'm sure they'll fancy getting a victory this weekend against FC as well.
Yeah, I think calling them the new Barwell was pretty much exactly the accurate thing to say last week as well. Because on the right day, they'll beat the teams at the top end of the table and they'll go get the results against the teams they need down the bottom end at the same time. In terms of, just going to bring Ashton back into this, because I'm looking at the run at the moment, and after the next three games, it's not necessarily the easiest situation. They've got to play a lot of the teams at the top end.
The next three games, Liversidge, Atherton Coles, Stalybridge Celtic. Tough. But like we just said there about Atherton Coles, if Ashton get one win out of that, then that's almost job done at that point, isn't it? Given the buffer they've got.
And that's what I mean. Ashton do need win one in the next three. They definitely have a situation there, but they've just got to be a bit wary about what comes afterwards, especially if, again, the likes of Nantwich, Mask and Liversidge start getting their runs going.
We've been discussing the points total that's needed to survive. You obviously have done the points tally that you think will get teams into the playoffs. But for a long time, the consensus has been 40 points will see you fine for next season in the Northern Premier League, Premier
Not
Division.
This year.
No,
it'd be near enough 45, I think, this season. Going to Ashton United, they've got the perfect opportunity to put the season to bed over the next couple of weeks. I'm absolutely sure they'll do it. And just going back to Coles, obviously still in that battle there, I think the biggest compliment that we can pay to him is that whenever Coles win a game, no one's ever surprised. It doesn't matter who it's against. It's like, oh yeah, Coles have beat X, Y and Z. Yeah, of course they have. It's Coles, isn't it? And we've got to touch on Lancaster a bit more, because this win of three games that they've just had and has propelled them right up into the upper half of the table. Let's have it right. They were flirting with the bottom four a few weeks ago. It just goes to show, it was never in doubt, was it? Come on. But Mark Fell, considering Lancaster's main issue, which is always going to be player recruitment and player retention, Mark Fell has worked absolute miracles there. Not just this season, but the last three or four years, however long he's been there. He's done a brilliant, brilliant job.
Because some managers say this, no one mentioned us. Lancaster's last games: Nantwich this weekend, Belper Town, Hyde United, Warrington Rallons, Gainsborough Trinity, Bamber Bridge, Ashton United, Geisler.
They'll be pushing for the top 10, definitely.
Is it inconceivable that they could get 24 points out of those matches there?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right. Well, I did ask the question, Mark.
But they could make they can certainly make a good account of themselves. And I fully expect they'll finish top 10. I do.
Now, if 45 points is the target, and let's say it is, Stalybridge Celtic are in 17th at the moment. They're on 38 points. That's 7 points from 45 and 6 points above the actual relegation line as things stand. Simo, I mean, Stalybridge Celtic, they've had good form, then they're not so good form. I think the win against Belper Town on Saturday could be huge for Stalybridge Celtic. I mean, it was looking a bit like they were going to get dragged back into it, but that's kind of helped massively.
Well, they've gone seven league games without a win before beating Belper, and this time last month we were praising them for how well they'd done in January in the aftermath of the wage budget being cut. So we were praising Chris Wilcock, and they've had a rough run of it since then. So they really, really needed that They've still got work to do. Weirdly, it's like they've been frozen in time because they were on 38 points on this day last year as well.
Really?
So, which is a really quirky statistic. Yeah, work to do. They actually finished fifth bottom last year with 49 points. I don't think 49 will be required this time. I think it's a bit less. But seeing as we've got four going down, that was the benchmark for fifth bottom last year, was 49 points. I think it'll be a bit less and you'll be okay this season. It's how they build on that win. Next up, South Shields at home. So it's not great to try and build momentum after getting back to winning ways and then you're playing the champions elect. So, yeah, very much work to do for Chris Wilcox, man.
And James Gordon, let's go to Morpeth, Warrington Town, on Saturday for Morpeth at Craig Park. And Morpeth have got Bamber Bridge away, Staley Bridge at home, massive, and then games against Stafford and FC United. And then the last four games, Hyde United away, Mask at home, Belper away, and Warrington Rylands at home. It does feel like it's kind of in Morpeth's hands if you take out, you know, games like against Warrington Town and Bamber Bridge and Hyde United. The other games are potentially winnable for Morpeth.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at the end of the season, in this last part of the season, you'll probably find that there'll be some results where teams scrapping for the lives at the bottom will pull up wins that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to. To be honest, I think the key conversation around this at the moment is the games in hand at Mask and Liversedge. Yes. You've got, because that really drags everybody else into it, really, or certainly narrows the gap that, you know, you have a glance at the table at the moment and it looks like there's a little bit of breathing room for Cole, Staleybridge, Morpeth. But if Mask and Liversedge can pull some wins back, then it'll get very close. From a Morpeth point of view, I think they'll be quite disappointed with this season, you know, where they are, but they still could end up being comfortable mid-table in the end if they string some wins. You know, they lost a lot of mainstays from their squad in the summer, and they've probably just not been able to... Morpeth never seem to be able to get any momentum with fixtures. They always seem to have good cup runs and whatever and end up quite a bit behind everyone, and it just sort of feels like that's where they've been this season. Interesting with both Morpeth and Mask that they don't seem to draw many games, and whereas you've got some sides at the top you draw a few games that they wish they'd have won. I'm sure Mask and Morpeth are probably at the other end of that scale where they lose games that really maybe they should have ought to have got a point from, and had they done that they might be in a bit of a better situation than they find themselves in.
Yeah, well, Morpeth are 5 points above the relegation line at the moment. I'll come back to Nantwich in a second. But Berkey, just to touch upon those two teams with games in hand, Mask United and Liversedge. Firstly, Liversedge. It would have been really interesting if their games survived the weather midweek against Lancaster City, because Liversedge suddenly got a bit of form going, and that's a very dangerous combination for the other teams down that end of the table.
It's not just a bit of form. They've got a bit of swagger about them. The proper going, gung-ho. When they played Hyde United the other week, the common consensus around the ground was that they were the best team that's been to Ewan Fields all season. They were a lot of fun to watch. They were proper swashbuckling and really going for it. They've got this, right, everyone thinks we're getting relegated. We probably are being relegated, but I tell you what, let's go down with a fight. And the spirit has just emerged from them. It's like they're the team from last season again, all of a sudden. And it's great to see that they're making a proper fight of this, and that they're pushing everyone. It looks like they're going to be pushing the teams above them the entire way. I wouldn't be all that surprised if they managed to get themselves out of this pickle, because of the way they're playing at the minute. They gave FC United a great game on Saturday, certainly taught them a lesson in the first half, being 3-0 up. Very unlucky to lose against Bamber Bridge. They've got it in there, they've got it in the locker, and you're going to have the likes of Nantwich, who would have been in pole position for getting out of the relegation mire, I suppose, who now go in a wang on. We have competition behind us. It's not just us trying to get out of this mire that we're in. So, yeah, really, really interesting situation at the bottom of this.
What I'm about to say is pointless because, you know, they've beaten Morpeth, they've beaten Marine. So, you know, they could beat anyone in this league with the way they're playing at the moment. Mm. They've got Ashton United coming up on Saturday. Then they've got Barlick Town in the West Riding's Cup semi-final. Then Stafford Rangers, Mask away, massive game. Warrington, Affertacoles, Matlock, Radcliffe, Gainsborough, Guiseley, Mask. And listeners might have spotted there, I'm reading out more fixtures than most of the teams in the league, and that's because they've still got loads of games in hand, going back to James Gordon's point. But, cliche klaxon, they've got to fit those games in, haven't they, James?
Yeah, obviously, with the weather I'm looking outside at the moment, it's coming to the point where first nights may be becoming an option soon too. So, going back to what Roy Sewell used to say, every season, you'd rather have the points on the board than the games in hand. But for Liverseads, I think this time, it's the opposite way around. They want to be playing the games where they can.
Yeah, and two teams that have had new managers installed recently as well also find themselves in the relegation places. Nantwich Town, they're the ones who've played more games, three games more than Mask and three games more than Liversidge, and a game more as well than Morpeth Town. 5 points inside the relegation places. Richie Sutton has departed the club. Paul Carden has come in. As it's Paul Carden, might as well go to you, James Gordon, because obviously you've worked with Paul over the years. It's a very good appointment for Nantwich Town, but he's not got much time, has he?
No, yeah, you know, I agree. It's a good appointment. It's a different situation than what Cards had at Warrington, of course. But then last season he went to Telford and kept them in National League North. This season didn't go the way that he wanted it to. I suppose it all depends on if he can get the players that are already there performing, and if he can bring in some of his own. I've seen that he's already signed a couple of players as well. He'll make Nantwich tough to beat, and that's for sure. And they've just got to find a way of scoring goals so that they can pick some wins up. You look at them games in hand, the games in hand situation, Nantwich are one of the ones that haven't got that on their side. So they've got eight big games to go. And
the horrible games as well, to be fair. I was just looking. They've got Lancaster at home this weekend. Then they've got Gainsborough Trinity, Bamber Bridge, Marine, South Shields, Stafford Rangers, and finishing things off with Mask and Radcliffe.
Yeah, it is tough. I think Cards is really good at getting teams up for games, maybe against stronger opposition. You know, he always had a very good record at Warrington against higher league opponents. And it's almost as if Nantwich are almost going to have to approach, you know, at least half of their fixtures with that sort of attitude. You know, they're going to be playing Marine, South Shields, Radcliffe, Gainsborough, Bamber Bridge, all teams who are at the top end of the division. And Nantwich are going to go into them games probably as underdogs, and they're going to have to get a bit of that underdog spirit in them. I suppose that raises the pressure on the other games in the running, including this Saturday, as you mentioned, against Lancaster. And I think they'll just have to be careful that they don't put too much pressure on those games in the first place. You look at the recent results that they've had, you know, the Mask and Morpeth defeats have been the real ones that have sucked them into that danger zone that they find themselves in. But they've made that positive appointment, and, you know, certainly Cards will give everything he can to keep them up, I'm sure.
And Simo, back at Mount Pleasant, Carl Jarrett returns for this fight for survival for Mask United. Curtis Woodhouse departing the club this past month. Like Liversidge, Mask have got games in hand. They're a bit better off when it comes to points-wise. They're just 5 points behind Morpeth Town, but they've only got two games in hand over Morpeth. So it feels like that maybe Stalybridge is the target, and the 6 points behind Stalybridge with three games in hand. What do you make of Mass chances? Because they've come full circle all of a sudden. They're back to... it's a bit like Liversidge, I suppose. Although I know Liversidge haven't reappointed Jonathan Rimmerton, but it does feel like they've come full circle and gone back to what kind of work for them to begin with.
I think timing is everything. If you put the two clubs side by side, who've made the managerial change... Mask moved just that little bit earlier, and Carl Jarrett's just got a little bit more time. Obviously, he's got the advantage as well of knowing his surroundings, knowing some, if not all, of the players. You mentioned Morpeth, but they did beat Morpeth, didn't they, on Tuesday night? So that was his first win since he came back, and they'll hope to build on that. They're away to Belper on Saturday. We touched on Belper earlier. That'll be one that they'll fancy winning. Suddenly, if you've got back-to-back wins, it feels like you're on a little role, and I think that could be the difference between Mask and Nantwich, and that might be the difference between those two of who stays up and who doesn't.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's in Mask's hands, but they have got Belper, like you say, this weekend. Then they've got Radcliffe, they've got Matlock, but then they play Liversidge, Then they've got the likes of FC United and Moreton Marlins, who, you know, are in mid-table at the moment. Stalybridge Celtic. Then a game against Marine, who obviously will be chasing the playoffs at that point. And then the three remaining games of the season towards the end of April will be Morpeth Town, Nantwich Town, Liversidge. So it kind of is in their hands.
Yeah, and I think James made a really, really salient point a minute ago about putting pressure on yourself. As following somebody who was in this position last season, it almost identical again, Witten Roman, almost identical situation. They had games in hand, but the pressure that they put themselves under to pick up points in those was just too much for them to bear in the end. And that is a little bit of the trick, not to kind of, whilst obviously you are desperate for the points, not to kind of put yourselves under so much pressure that you just can't perform. And that's not an easy thing to do, because you know that you need to get those points on the board. So that's the test for Carl Jarrett. But yeah, after you've read that list out, they've got a more than decent chance, haven't they, of doing it? And who would get pulled in? Well, there's one or two candidates we've touched on. So they can feel optimistic. They've got it all on, but I think they can feel optimistic that they can do it if they can go back to back and beat Belper on Saturday.
And Sibyl, just while you're talking, there's only one team we've not mentioned yet, and that is Belper Town. We obviously heard from Lee Atterborough a couple of weeks ago. It was always going to be a tall ask. He did feel like the last two games were the ones, not South Shields, but, you know, the games against Stalybridge and Ashton United were the ones for Belper. It's a tall ask now. They've been beaten in those games. But after speaking to Lee, I don't think anyone at the club were under any illusions about the challenge, and they're not doing anything daft. They're trying to cushion the blow for next season so they can bounce back as quickly as possible, it looks like.
100%, and that's exactly how they should approach the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season. Look, they've only won one of the past 14 league games. That speaks for itself. We don't need to add to that. I think they are down, and they've got to start thinking about, right, we've got to run up now for next season. What do we want our objectives to be? What do we think about the players that we've got? He needs to use that time, and I'm sure that he will, to his advantage by getting them ready for next season.
Well, that's every position covered in the league table, with about eight or so round of fixtures left to play, although we know Liversidge and Mask have probably got, they've got a lot of fixtures left. But we're definitely into the home straight now. General consensus, if we can get some predictions, just a bit of fun, dear listener, don't get in touch. It's just to fill 2 minutes right at the end of the show and just to finish the podcast this month with a little bow. Everyone under general consensus that South Shields are probably going to win the league now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just more about who's taking the league trophy up there, to me or James Gordon.
Who's getting the Alan Allcopter? Has anyone booked it out? right, so that's side of things done with regards to our predictions anyway. What about the playoffs? This way it gets interesting.
Right, Shields obviously to win it. And then in no particular order, Hyde, Warrington, Bamber Bridge and Matlock.
James Gordon, yep. As a league official, I don't think you're allowed to say who's going to make the playoffs, but I suppose as a... like a free citizen of the world, you're allowed an opinion.
Hyde, Warrington, yeah. I'm going to go Gainsborough, and I'll have to say Radcliffe, I think.
And speaking of Radcliffe, James Hayes, James Gordon's made the move for you, so you're going to have to get off the fence.
Radcliffe needs 6 points to get into the playoffs. I think Hyde, Warrington and Radcliffe are up there. The fight's for fourth at this moment in time, but that depends if Radcliffe can win, get two wins out the next three.
Sorry, I only got three of your predictions there, mate. Who's your prediction?
I'm going to go with Gainsborough on this one, just because they've got two goal scorers on form.
Simo?
I think it's going to be Hyde, Warrington, Bamber Bridge and Marine.
Ooh. Okay. Right, so just to let everyone know where we're up to, four people suggest Hyde, four people suggest Warrington. So I think an MPL show... exclusive prediction is that Hyde and Warrington will be in the playoffs. This is solid stuff, by the way, everyone. Middle of March, the team in second or third will be in the playoffs. That's our prediction. Strong work. And then it's kind of a coin toss, really, between Radcliffe,
grabs.
Gainsborough, Matlock, Bamber Bridge and Marine, all with at least one prediction each. So, yeah, pretty much like the league table. Well, we'll find out, won't we? Because we're coming up to the last... few weeks of the season. And James Hayes, just before we go, social media channels, the cap lock is back. Obviously, some things are up in the air when it comes to the Premier Division, but for Step 4 shows out this week, by the way, dear listener. Loads of stuff happening, loads of permutations, loads of cap lock tweets.
I mean, the big one is obviously if they go ahead this weekend, Worksop can finally seal it with results, with a win and results elsewhere. But Twitter, Northern Premier League, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, official Northern Premier. And we start the hunt for our player of the season. So keep your eyes out for that in the month.
Good stuff. And obviously, social media channels for this weekend. We're pre-recording the show this week on Wednesday, and we all know about the weather reports. But James Hayes, social media officer from the Northern Premier League, a big, big thank you for joining us on this month's show.
No worries, thank you.
James Gordon, press and media officer, big thank you for joining us too.
Thank you.
Ian Burke for 26-0. Big thanks.
Cheers, Ben.
Have a lovely weekend. Simo, you have a lovely weekend too.
I will. It. Thank you very much.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
But thank you, dear listener, for joining us on this month's show. You have a lovely weekend and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. You take care. Bye-bye.